Welcome to the Awaken Therapist podcast, where we explore a holistic and transpersonal approach to therapy. In season three, you'll hear live demos, expert teachings, and dynamic interviews to inspire you to awaken transformation in yourself, your clients, and the world. I'm your host, Harmony Quiker. As a psychotherapist, author, and visiting instructor at Naropa University, I created this podcast to empower you to unlock the magic of psychotherapy. To learn about our trainings, community, and resources, check us out at awakentherapist.com. In this episode, I welcome my dad, Dr. Michael Quiker, back to the podcast for a heartfelt conversation about homeopathy and mental health. As a doctor of osteopathic medicine practicing in Sacramento, California, my dad shares his perspective on homeopathy as a gentle, non-invasive energy medicine that helps unblock the system and restore harmony. Together, we explore how this approach supports physical, emotional, and energetic balance, and how when the remedy is the right match, it can create rapid, meaningful, and lasting shifts without the need for continued use. Rooted in our shared belief in the body's innate intelligence, this conversation honors healing as a deeply individualized path. Please keep in mind that what we share reflects our personal experiences and is not intended as medical or psychological advice. If you're considering homeopathy or any healing modality, we encourage you to consult a qualified provider who can support your unique journey. I'm so glad you're here. Now let's drop in. What feels important to you about homeopathy, especially as it relates to mental health and mental health symptoms?
So first of all, homeopathy is, I think, just so great. It's cheap, it's easy, it's low risk, it's high benefit, it's available, and it's been around for 225 years, and nothing stays around for 225 years unless it works. It would have been discarded if it doesn't work. So we've got a great track record with homeopathy, and its uses are so expansive. So that's one thing. Second thing is, I do believe that there's a metaphysical reason for all physical ailments. In medical, it's called psychoneuroimmunology. But what it actually means is, if somebody has a sore throat, for example, there's something they said that they regret or something that they're not saying that they need to say. And their energy is blocked in the throat. And homeopathy is the energy unblocker, as far as I'm concerned. And it's just so easy. Now, I say easy, I mean easy on the body. To learn it is, it's a life's work on some level. Because it's so massive. So for those people who are interested in learning it and just beginning, I say be patient with yourself. You know, learn two remedies a week, three remedies a week, go through them and just try to get comfortable with what, you know, and you'll have to reread them all the time because they're just, they're dense. Homeopathic remedies really touch a lot of bases, especially the deeper ones. And it's hard to know every single thing every remedy does. It's just very difficult.
Yeah, before we came on, I looked up how many homeopathic remedies there are.
I think it's unlimited because I think there could be a homeopathic remedy everything on earth. I'll say on the machine there, there's something like 40,000 things that can be made from remedies. So yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
How many remedies are actual?
Well, no, I think you're probably more accurate. I think it's probably about upwards of 40,000, but the internet says upwards of 10,000.
Right.
But yeah, there's, I think that that's probably classical homeopathy.
Right.
When you said it's easy on the body, I want to add that I believe it's easy on the body because it's honoring the body's inherent intelligence. It's not imposing something onto the body that doesn't already exist within the body.
Lovely.
The match of a remedy and how a body responds to that exact match, the exact potency, taught me so much as a psychotherapist. Because it's so nonviolent to be witnessed by a remedy and then to find the ease of coming back into balance without being forced back into balance.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, and speed, I gotta say.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't surprise me at all if somebody calls me the next day and just tells me how much better they're feeling. I mean, it's just so fast.
Yeah, it's so fast. And then the other thing, too, is that it's not something that you keep taking every day, like a prescription,
Right.
because it's so effective and so gentle.
And it does, it neutralizes the negative energy. So once neutralized, you don't have to keep taking it over and over and over again because it's gone. It's like if you wash a dish and it's clean, you don't need to keep washing it. It's not like Advil, of course, you take that, it runs out in 6 hours, you got to take more Advil. But homeopathy, once it's done its thing, it's complete. Now, there oftentimes is something underneath that primary remedy. And so you say, yeah, but I still have this problem. You're right. There's more to it than just what the remedies we've given you, and they weren't visible until that big remedy was taken. So I do see somebody coming back and having to go through until they get each layer peeled off and they're just right again.
When a person doesn't feel an effect, they likely make up this meaning that that means homeopathy doesn't work. What would you say to that?
Well, I can see their point. I can see their point. They're disappointed. I got it. And I'm disappointed along with them. And that's no reason to shirk all homeopathic remedies. That just means that my advice to them was incorrect or not perfectly on target. That's all it means. And it means we just got to go back to the drawing board and let's give it another shot and find out where it was that I didn't look or something like that. Because there's just so many things. And I know people get discouraged. And I know they go to their private doc and the doc says, here, take this prescription and you'll feel much better. And oftentimes they do, which is a problem because now they're taking the prescription over and over and over and over again. It's kind of like antidepressants. Once you get on those things, it's tough to get off. You got to go through a long, complicated withdrawal just from being on there. I had somebody in here yesterday, actually, who has come a long way. But she asked me about antidepressants, and I said, no, we can't go there with those. I mean, you've got to give it another, 2, 3 weeks, and just let me work on it 1 week at a time. I'll see her every week. Let me just work on it. Let's get to the space. And eventually, I know we're going to get there.
Yeah. The way that homeopathy was described to me was how our energy can become mistuned by life, and the remedy comes in and retunes our energy. And when I hear this case that you just said, it's like when we have a lifetime of being mistuned by life, by what we eat, by what we experience, by not working through our stress, and then we look for a quick fix. Clients or patients can sort of get caught up in this urgency to get relief as opposed to nurturing the health of the system.
Right, that's exactly perfectly well put. And it takes time sometimes, even when the remedy works perfectly and the person feels better, the residual that has to come back to normal, sometimes that, let's say it's the gut might take 4, 6 weeks to get back to normal, even though the bloating and the gas is down and the hemorrhoids are better and everything like that from the remedy, still the mucosal healing of the intestinal tract. It takes a little time.
You were saying before about maybe you didn't quite see something quite right. This is something I think many people don't understand about homeopathy, is that every remedy has a wide range of symptom pictures in that one remedy. And the nuance of a match from a remedy to your symptoms is so specific and so tailored to you, not only in the symptom picture, but also the potency of the remedy itself. And so to have the talent of seeing both the symptom picture of a person, the match of a remedy, and the potency at the exact right time.
It is. And it takes practice. I mean, it just, all I can say is trial and error at the beginning. People got to be patient with themselves if they're just starting out in this thing. Be patient. It's like Edison. I keep thinking of Thomas Edison. He made 2,000 light bulbs before he got one to work. 2,000 attempts. And he was grateful for every time he failed because he was one step closer. So you just got to keep at it. That's the only thing you can really do.
I'm curious what you think about the spiritual nature of homeopathy. I know that was a big piece of Hahnemann's work, and I was taught that homeopathy is God's medicine, meaning that we feel more connected to our true nature. When we have a remedy, we feel more connected to our innate spirituality.
The whole thing about connection with spirituality is so individualized. Some people are just naturally connected. They just walk in here and they are totally connected to the divine. And other people are more, their presence is in the everyday of the cars, money, people, places, things, pay the rent, pay the bills, the horizontal plane. The spiritual plane is vertical. The horizontal plane is material. And so I say 95% are in the material plane. So to wake them up to spirituality, I wish there was one remedy that would do it. They get closer. Once they kind of get the whole picture together, I think they're closer. But some people, it has to be intentional to connect, whereas other people are naturally connected. So there's a difference there.
There's one remedy that I know that you and I both have a personal experience with that for me had me feel like deeply reminded of my connection to belonging in this world, and that's Ignatia. And I know I suggested Ignatia to you once too, and you felt the effects quite quickly.
Ignatia to me was a lifesaver. I mean, it was just, I'll just say, I had COVID extremely horrible and I couldn't eat and I was losing weight and my muscle mass was way down and I had COVID cardiomyopathy and every heartbeat hurt and I couldn't eat anything. And I took Ignatia, and 20 minutes later, I knew I was going to be okay. And that was such an incredible shift. It really, really was just mind-blowing.
That experience of, I know I'm going to be okay. That deep trust, like that's what I'm pointing to as like a sense of spirituality. Like, for me, it was several years after mom died, and I had been in an Ignatia picture for years and I didn't know it. And then I had babies and it like got more intensified. And I took Ignatia 1M and instantly, like the second it touched my tongue, I was like, oh, I'm here. I feel connected to purpose. I feel connected to myself. And the mental pictures of Ignatia, I'm just going to read it quickly. This is coming from the Materia Medica: changeable mood, introspective, silently brooding. And that was a big one for me. Like my mind just kept silently brooding internally, melancholic, sad, tearful. Not communicative. It's like holding everything in, all the sadness and all the grief and anger, sighing and sobbing, aftershocks, grief and disappointment. Even as I read it, there's so much nuance just in the mentals. And just for those listening, there's many other symptom pictures embedded in this one remedy, just not in the mentals of it. But to be feeling all of that brooding and then to all of a sudden feel okay, it's such a quick change.
For me, I was way more physical because I was in such a physically depleted state at that point. And my intestinal tract, 20 minutes later, I could feel it because I was so out of it, I couldn't tune in instantly. But 20 minutes later, my intestinal tract was so much better. I mean, that's homeopathy for you.
And though I would say that some of the mentals were there in you that you hadn't seen until I suggested Ignatia. You're like, oh, I have been tearing up, and like, but you hadn't been tracking that inside of you because you were in such physical pain.
But yeah, that's right. And that just gives a how you're tuned in. I know the mental picture was there, but I tell you what, the relief to my intestinal tract was splendid. That's all I can say. I can still remember that. And 20 minutes, bam. Never again, even. And those symptoms never came back.
And then never again. And this is the other thing of what I was saying about the deep witness. Like when the system is seen in such an accurate way at the accurate time, it's like the system doesn't need to hold it anymore because I've been seen. And that very much relates to how I approach psychotherapy. And because so many of the listeners here are therapists, I do want to say that understanding how a person is expressing their symptoms and being a mirror for them, seeing them accurately and meeting them there is in effect a remedy. It's
Right.
that deep limbic resonance entering into the resonant field without trying to fix or change, just in the most non-judgmental way, is a way that we can offer a space that is healing for our clients, similar to what homeopathy offers.
Well, I'll tell you what, just when you say that, it makes me think of when I look at a patient, I got to look at the patient. I mean, I can hear the patient with their complaints, but I've got to look. I got to see what's in their face. I got to see how they're talking. I got to see what's underneath it. That really helps.
That present moment expression is more honest than what a client says. Like how they're actually expressing themselves gives me more information than any words that come out of their mouth.
Exactly. Seeing the person. Yes. Then you get a sense of where they're really, really, really at. That's why I dislike phone consultations for that very reason. There's a disconnect there that I can't put together.
Well, yeah, similar for me. I recently started telling clients that I won't do telehealth anymore. It almost feels like the energy is in a microwave. Like I can't quite see it as clearly. Just when I'm in the room with somebody and like watching their breath and seeing their feet on the ground and, being in that more sensory experience.
Exactly. I know it's going to sound strange, but it's true. I had asked somebody to come from Florida, and she did it. She got on a plane and she came, and she was here on Friday. She's going to be here for 3 weeks, and I'm grateful so I got 3 weeks to deal with her. But we did a lot yesterday. But I had to have her come because I couldn't figure it out over the phone.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. And so, how was the first remedy ever created and conceived?
So what happened was Hahnemann was a doctor, and a lot of people had malaria at that point. This is the early 1800s. Natives would give cinchona bark to take away the symptoms of malaria, which he tried. He took cinchona bark on his own without having malaria, and he got symptoms of malaria. And then he started to make the cinchona bark weaker by diluting it. And the more he diluted it, the more effective it was at taking away the symptoms. And subsequently, the first homeopathic remedy was born.
Is it true that eventually he came to realize that you didn't need the substance at all and just the vitality of the cinchona bark?
I'm not sure he knew that. I do think his wife knew that.
Yeah, his wife was integral in this, and this is
Yeah.
common in the history of our world where.
He passed away, and she was the one who made it. She promised him that she would not give up the fight, and she was the one who organized a homeopathic society of like four people at that point. And they just plowed on, even with all the resistance they got from the medical people at the time. But they plowed on, and four became eight, and eight became 10, and 10 became 12. And all of a sudden, they had a homeopathic group of people teaching homeopathy, and it just has maintained.
And what Hahnemann did by taking the substance and aggravating himself is called approving. And will you share more about approving?
Well, I mean, we all get provings all the time. So, I mean, if you take canker sore remedy and you it's not it's the incorrect remedy, you might break out in a canker sore, but it's going to go away in like a day as soon as you stop it. Well, if you take Rustaverse Iloba, for example, for poison oak, you might get itchy skin if it's not the right remedy. But the minute you stop it, it'll just go away in a day. So it's not quite the same as Hahnemann's thing.
I think a good example is cannabis.
Yes. Yeah, cannabis can have a very definite effect on the body, I mean, mentally and physically. And getting the homeopathic remedy and getting that energy out of the body when you're ready to quit. Cannabis, really dims our light energy. And so I have to say, even though I had been a cannabis user in the old days, I sound like a reformed alcoholic or something, but I don't think it's good for you.
Well, so I just pulled up the mental pictures of the cannabis remedy. I think this is a really good example because homeopathy is like cures like. And so Hahnemann was doing a proving with cinchona, and somebody who takes the actual substance of cannabis ends up doing a proving of the remedy itself. And so the mental pictures of cannabis are excessive loquacity, meaning they talk a lot, exuberance of spirit, time seems too long, constantly theorizing, anxious depression, constant fear of becoming insane, mania, must constantly move, very forgetful, cannot finish a sentence. There's others here too, but I'm going to stop there. When we look at like cures like, we're not saying give the person cannabis. The homeopathic remedy is the energetic, diluted down imprint of what that substance causes. And then when the person's system is seen with that accurate witness, they no longer hold that same symptom picture.
And cannabis is kind of a specific remedy, which we'll call a no-sode. And the constitutional remedies, which are much more broad, there's a much broader application for the remedy. For example, Nate Muir, which is just table salt, just the remedy to table salt. It does so much good stuff. It's amazing how good it is. And it's just so simple and easy. And, many of us oversalt things. Homeopathic remedies, to me, to learn them, you've got to read about them. And so the Materia Medica is a great place to start. And Homeopathic Psychology by Philip Bailey is a great place. Yeah, those are two really good books. Homeopathic Psychology, I really love because there's only 50 remedies he talks about in there. So 50 remedies can be mastered. Now, he's a little wordy, so when I first read it, I just went through with a magic marker and highlighted specific words so I could at least remember the gist of it when I remembered the remedy. For example, there's one that says hesitates when they speak, and that leads you to Illumina. And so, if I see that, I've already got that connection going. So, but that's where I would start. I do that.
Thank you. I'll put your information and those books in the show notes. And I really do hope that people join us on Patreon for the teaching portion because we're going to go over some specific remedies for mental health symptoms. So thank you for being here with me, Dad.
Oh, my pleasure, totally.
If you found this episode meaningful and want to hear the full conversation, you can access the entire episode by joining us on Patreon. Your support helps make this work possible and allows us to continue offering deep experiential content like this. As a member, you'll also get access to extended sessions, discounts on trainings, and behind-the-scenes discussions on the therapeutic process. To join the community and learn more about our trainings, visit us at awakentherapist.com or click the link in the show notes. Thanks for listening.